Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin Daf Yotes. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas, Eliyahu Platt's mother. Eliyahu's been a regular listener for the Daf for several cycles with us, and his mother, Fega Leah Bas Pajamashiv and Leah from our learning. Okay, we pick up at the Mishnah, which is about six lines down from the top of Yotes Omid Aleph. The Mishnah tells us some of the dinim physically about the get now. The Mishnah starts and tells us, Bakol Kosvim. One is permitted to write a get with any type of an ink. We'll see what we define ink as in a second, that is going to leave an indelible mark. An ink that can be erased, so obviously we have to be concerned that the get could be erased, a different date put in, different parties put in, and Rachmana Litzlan, it could lead to a tremendous takala. So it has to be in something that will be an indelible ink. So you can write with anything, the Mishnah tells us, Bakol Kosvim, and that would include Bidiyo. We'll define what all these are when we get to the Gemara. So for right now, we'll just translate Diyo as ink, but Tosos already points out in the top Tosos that Omer Rabbeinu Tam did Diyo Shalanu, who Karui Diyo, for lo Oso Shaosim Me'afotim. In the times of Tosos, the ink was different than that which is described in the Gemara, which was made from afotz, which was like a gallnut type of an ink. In any event, we'll define this more when we get to the Gemara. So, Dio is good. Sam is good. Sam is a certain type of a yellow color. Rashi calls it a foreign language word, and he calls it orpiment, which is some sort of a yellow type of an arsenic dye. Besikra, sikra is a red type of a dye. Ubekomus, usually translated as some sort of like a gum type of a dye, ubekankantom, that is a dye that they'll use for blackening shoes, as we'll see in the Gemara, ubechol dover shusha kayama, anything that is an indelible, permanent type of a marking, and the Gemara will say what this is adding. Again, it's not coming to give us just a general rule, but it's coming to add one specific item, which the Gemara will tell us. However, you're not allowed to write a get, ein kosin, lo b'mashkin, you can't write it with some sort of a liquid that will not be a permanent marking. The lo b'mei peiros, and not with various types of fruit juices, again, will not be permanent. And the Mishnah tells us, lo b'chol dover she'en miskayim, and not with anything that will not be a permanent marking because of the concern of a counterfeit, a forged type of a document that has been erased and changed. Then it tells us on what type of a paper one is allowed to write a get. So, ala kol kosim, you can write on anything such as al he'ole shel zayis. You can specifically use the leaf of an olive tree. This is something that will be permanent. It won't get disintegrated so quickly. Or the al ha'keren shel para, or on the horn of a cow. However, in this situation, the no same law as a para. You then have to give the para to the woman because there can't be anything in between the writing and the giving. Now, the Ola Shozayis also had that same problem, and it had to be therefore detached. And Tosos on Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis, at the very top of the Amud, and the Mesos HaShas points us to that, tells us that this is Dafka Ola Shozayis Ukiyotzibo Dimiskayim. These are things that are, again, permanent. They won't be disintegrated so quickly. As the Tosefta tells us, Al Ola Shozayis V'choru V'dalas, these types of materials that you can write on will not disintegrate so quickly. So, as opposed to the whole davishu kayama, that is kosher. Aval ola shel krishin ubitzolim, the ola vardim, the ola yirakos, the whole davishu eno shel kayama possible. Those types of things will not last, and therefore they would not be acceptable to write a get on. And likewise, you have to give it right away. There can't be anything in between your signing it and your giving it, such as a step of being tolation, of being cutting it off, so it has to already be cut. So this Ola Shozayis is already Tolush, Rashi tells us, and that's also a critical factor in the others that we're discussing over here. There can't be anything in between your writing it and your giving it, no other steps. So you have to give the woman, if you're writing it on Keren Shel Para, the Tanakama holds, that's acceptable, but then you have to give her the Para. Or Al Yad Shel Evid, if you're writing it on the hand of an Evid, so that also you must not have anything intervening, but no sin loss evid. You then have to give her the evid. That is the Tanakhama's opinion. Rav Yosef Glila disagrees, and Rav Yosef Glila omer, no, ein kosvim lo al dover sheyesh beruach chayim, v'lo al ha'ocholim. You cannot write it on something that is alive, an animal or an evet, and you can't write it on food items, and the Gemara will discuss exactly what he is talking about. That's our Mishnah. We start the Gemara now and explain the various types of ink-like substances that are kosher. So we start off saying Dio. What is Dio? It is something called Diuta. Zen is something that they were familiar with. This was a certain type of ink. Again, Tosafot says it's not the typical gallnut type of writing, but it was some sort of an ink that they were familiar with, called diyuta. Sam, that is something called sama. Rashi explains over here that this is, again, this orpiment, which the Laz, the translations of Laz and Rashi, tells a certain type of a yellow dye. Sikra, Amar Rabba Bar Brachana, Sikarta Shema. This is something called Sikarta, which is a red type of dye, as Rashi tells us, Tseva Adam, and he gives us a foreign language word for that as well. This kumas is something called kuma, which is usually referring to some sort of like a sap, a gum from the tree. And kankantum, that Amar Rabba Bar Brachana, Amar Shmuel, is Charta di Ushkapti, which Rashi tells us is a foreign language word, adramint, which, again, the Laz Rashi translations tell us that this was something that the sandalorium, the people that made sandals, would go and use to blacken the shoes. So this is a shoemaker's type of a black type of a coloring that is also going to make an indelible mark on the parchment or on the item that you're writing it on, and therefore is acceptable. Then the Mishnah had made a general statement, Uvuchol Davishu Miskayim Vachule. So what is that referring to? That is not, again, Mishnahis don't give us general rules. They normally give us specifics, and we're supposed to learn out from them other things. So here, this is coming specifically to add Lasuye Mai. What specific type of additional ink is it coming to allow? Lasuye specifically to include Hodotoni Rabbi Chanina, that which Rabbi Chanina taught us in the following Braisa, Kisavo B'mei Tarya Va'afotza Kosher. If you used Mei Tarya, Rashi tells us two definitions of this. First one he says is Mei Gishomim. This is some type of a rainwater that must have been colored in some way. So this is acceptable as well. It was dirty, it was black. So this type of Mei Gishomim would be acceptable. It would write also indelibly. That's from his Rebbe, Loshen Bauri. Or he said Mei Tarya is Mayim Sheshorim Bo Pri, Shu Ke'ein Afotzim, that they would soak it in some type of a fruit, like a gallnut, like these Afotzim, Glash, Vilaz, a foreign language word. And this is a certain type of gallnut juice. All of these things are acceptable as well. The Gemara continues with the following price. Tony Rebchia adds additional things. Kisavo ba'avor. Ba'avor is, Rashi explains, sheshof ha'oferes b'mayim u'mashirim. You go and place a block of lead. Avor is lead. Oferes. And you put it in water, and you let the color come off from the lead into the water. U'mashirim, and it will make a dark type of a color that will also make an indelible ink, and that is good. Likewise, Rebchia learned in the price of Bishchor, Rashi tells us that's Bechomim with coals. So if you have like the coloring of coals, so that would be acceptable. Ubishichor, the Shichor, Rashi tells us, is Charta Dushkafi. That is the shoemaker's polish, the blackening agent that the shoemaker uses. All of these, the Avor, the Shchor, and the Shichor, are kosher. That's what Rav Chiya tells us. Mark continues in the following discussion, and it tells us Itmar. Learn the base medrash. Hamavir diyo al gabi sikra b'shabbos. If you were to go and write on Shabbos, you would take one of these inks, this diyo, and you would write it on top of a red ink. You would take a black ink, and you would write over the letters that were already written previous to Shabbos with red ink. So both Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, the Army Tavaya, they both hold that you would be chayv in that situation, shtayim. You'd be over two lavim. If you did this by accident, you'd be over two lavim. What are those? Achas mishum kosev, the achas mishum mochek. You would be chayev for writing that you wrote now with this black ink, but you also would be mechuyev over here because you erased the red ink by blackening by writing in the black. Now you're essentially erasing the red ink that was there. And while we normally say that if you destroy something and you're just doing it lekalkel to destroy, so then you would not be over in Issa Doraisa. Mochek is all minas lichtov, so that's the only time you chayv mi Doraisa. And here, since your intention is to erase the red, so you can have the black there, that's considered mochek al minas lichtov. And therefore, according to both Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, you'll be chayv two lavim here for writing with black ink on top of red ink. You'd be erasing the red ink that was already there. And that was essential in order for you to have the black ink there. So the kosev was the purpose of the mechika, and that's why the mechika is one iser. And then the kosev, that's the second iser, and therefore you'd be chayiv twice. Now, the Gemara discusses this a little bit more. If you were to do Dio Al-Gabi Dio or Sikra Al-Gabi Sikra, then you would be potter. As Rashi tells us, in this situation where you're writing with black ink on top of already existing black ink before Shabbos, or red ink on already existing red ink before Shabbos, then you would not be chayv in Issa Daraisa, because Rashi tells us, Shareyu Kibitchila, lo kosav lo mocha, because there really is no change. So you're writing with the black ink on top of the black ink, there is no change that's recognizable, and therefore it's not considered writing mid-daraisa. Mid-daraban, of course, you can't do this. But on a daraisa level, you would not be chayv, but it's potter avaloser mid-darabanon. And likewise, you're not considered erasing anything because nothing has been erased. And therefore, the Gemara is telling us here that there has to be some sort of a outcome here that is kasiva that wasn't there previously, and a mechika from something that wasn't that was there originally and now is no longer there. And when you're writing black on black or red on red, you're not accomplishing anything. Therefore, it's not an issa deraisa, albeit it's potter aval aser. But the Gemara says, if you were to write sikra agabi dio, if you were to write red ink on top of black ink, now we're assuming the black ink is the preferred and better way, so you're writing with red ink on top of black ink, so some say amri lo chayav, the amri lo potter, and some say you'd be potter. Why? So those that say amri lo chayav, the reason you chayav, because you'd be chayav for mochiku, because you erase the black ink, you can no longer see the black ink, and now you can see the red ink. So mochiku, Rashi tells us, you'd be over Doraisa Mochek, however, velo kosev, but you wouldn't be over Ksiva, because Shemitchila Hayakosev Hogun Me'anto, because the original writing was better. We're presuming that the black ink is preferable, and therefore, when you erase the black ink, you are erasing Almanas to write with the red ink, but the red ink is not considered Ksiva over here, because it's not as good as the black ink, which was already there. Others, however, disagree. Amri lo potter. Others say, no, this is not an issa deraisa, because the bottom line is the red ink is less preferable than black ink, so therefore when you erase the black ink, it's makalkelhu. It is not considered a positive action. It's not mechika almenas lichtov, and therefore you wouldn't be chayv on a deraisa level. As Rashi tells us, v'havalei kemochik almenas shelo lichtov. It's as if you were erasing, not for the purposes of writing, because the red ink is considered inferior to the black ink. I, the one that said it was chayev, l'mandem chayev, lo yomakalkel kolkach, sharei koso nikar. The first opinion that says you are chayev mochek is because, after all, there is red ink there, so it was almanas lichtov, albeit with a less desirable kasiva. Boy, me Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish asked the following question, Rabbi Yochanan. Eidim she'ein yodim lachtom. If you have witnesses that do not know how to sign their name. But as we'll see, an underlying principle when it comes to Gittin is we're very concerned, and Rashi tells us this later in the Daf, in the Dibur Masel B'Gittin, all the way at the bottom, we'll refer to this Rashi a number of times. Mishum Iguna, we're concerned always with the get, that if you don't write it right now, the husband's going off on his business trip, and we're terrified that he'll be lost, and we won't know, and the wife will be in Iguna. So because of Iguna, or Rashi tells us that we're also concerned that maybe Oyamus, so when he goes off on this business trip, he may die, and we'll find out about it, but they never had children, that his Zakik Liyavim, and she'll become a Zakuka Liyavim, which maybe the husband and her don't think is the best situation, and therefore they want to prevent this. So therefore, because of Iguna, or because of Tzakik Liyavim, so the husband writes a get to his wife before he leaves. He's a Yisrael. When he comes back, he'll remarry her. This way, she's not in any trouble if Rachmona Luslani doesn't come back. So, in this situation, Reish Lakish asks from Yochanan, if you have Eidim, She'en Yodim Lachtom, you have witnesses there, but they don't know how to sign their name. So, Mahu, we want them to go and write and sign on the get, because we don't want to let the woman be an Aguna or Tizok Liyavim if we can prevent it. So, what do you do in this situation? So, Mahu She'ichtiv Lehem B'Sikra. Could you go and write their name for them in red ink, and then the yachtimu, and have them sign it with black ink. And therefore, it is now they're just basically coloring in the red ink with black ink. And would this be acceptable? Is this considered kisav el yom kisav or eino kisav? In regards to Ilcha Shabbos, we said that this was kisiva. So in regards to Ilcha Shabbos, this is writing. In regards to a chasima on a get, is this considered a valid kisiva, a valid chasima, or not? That's Reish Lakish's question to Rav Yochanan. So I'm alone. Rav Yochanan tells him, no, sorry, ain't no kisav. That's not considered valid for the purposes of chasima, of signing a get. But Reish Lakish says, but in Hilchos Shabbos it was considered kisiva, so why in Hilchos Gittin is it not considered kisiva? Reish Lakish says, Rabbi Yochanan, Amar lo, v'lo limada tana, Rabbeinu. I always point out, this is the right way a Talmud should be asking a Rebbe if they have a question. The Rebbe said something the Talmud disagrees with, so they should phrase it in a way, didn't the Rebbe teach us? As opposed to, you're wrong. So Reish Lakish says to his Talmud chaver, Rabbi Yochanan, his brother-in-law, v'lo limada tana, Rabbeinu, k'sav elyon, k'sav li'in yishabes. But in regards to l'chashabes, this would be an isid or raisa. So why, in regards to Gittin, is it not considered a valid type of writing? So Rabbi Yochanan says as follows. On the low, Rabbi Yochanan says back to Reish Lakish, his brother-in-law, V'chim ifnei sh'anu medamin nasa ma'isa. Because in regards to Hilchus Shabbos, we have to go l'chumra because we're not certain. So we go l'chumra in that situation. Do we go over here and say that now we should allow you to go and say this is a valid get and make a woman no longer an ashes ish? It's a safek. It wasn't that in regards to Hilchus Shabbos we were certain. So in regards to Hilchus Shabbos, we said, don't do this. It's possibly an Issa D'Oraisa. As Rashi says, Shanu Omdim V'Svurim. We're estimating over here. We're assuming and suggesting. So because we are thinking over here that you should be Chomer in regards to Hilchus Shabbos, does that mean that we should be automatically Makel in regards to Hilchus Gittin? We're leaving basically the status quo as it is because we're not sure. We're not going to go and say this woman is now a Grusha. So Naisa Maisa, we should go and make a Maisa? As Rashi says, Lohakel, this would be Lekula. Afilu L'Nin Shabbos in Bo Maisa L'Yodeinu B'Zman Beis Hamikdash Lo HaYisi Somech Al Devarai Lo HaVichul Nazara. In regards to Hilchus Shabbos, we would not have made them bring a chatas. I said before, it's a chiyuv of a chatas. Though, Rav Yochanan says it's not a chiyuv of a chatas. In regards to Hilchus Shabbos, we would pass it. If you asked us beforehand, are you allowed to do this? We would say no. But after the fact, we wouldn't make you bring a chatas for those two because we're not 100% sure that that's considered an Issa D'Oraisa. We're telling you, treat it as if it's an Issa D'Oraisa, but after the fact, we're not going to let you bring a chatas because if you weren't obligated in the chatas, you're bringing chulun li'azara, and that's an isser. So therefore, in regards to Hilchus Shabbos, we go l'chumra. So in regards to Hilchus Gittin, we also have to go l'chumra and say that you're not allowed to go and write for these people that don't know how to sign their name. Let them put down red ink first, and then they'll cover it up with black ink. That will not be acceptable. No. So what do you do, Nebuch? If you're trying to make sure that the woman doesn't become an aguna, she doesn't become tizarch like Yovam, and now is the only opportunity, you only have witnesses here that don't know how to sign the name, what do you do? So it, Marik Morris says, Eidim Shein Yodim Lachtom, if you have witnesses that don't know how to sign the name, so we had this previously. Rav Amar, Rav gave the following suggestion. Mikarin Lohem Niyor Cholok, Umembalin Es Hakroyim Diyo. Rav's opinion was that you go and etch out, go and carve into the parchment, basically the signature of the person, and then they'll fill it in with ink. That was the simple understanding that Rashi had. We brought down from Tosos that it was basically you make some sort of a stencil, and you cut out the names, and therefore they'll put it over the parchment, and they'll fill in where the stencil is their name, and this will be Kasiva. This will be a good Chasima, according to Rav. Shmuel disagrees. Ushmuel Amar Bavor. Go and take the lead that we had mentioned previously, that was an acceptable type of ink, and go and write it with lead, and then go and have them sign over the lead written letters, and this will be an acceptable ksiva. The Gemara asked the obvious question, Bavar, you telling us that you can write a non-permanent type of writing with Avar? You told us before that that's not true. Bavar so kedaitach. Are you telling me that you could use lead over here as a non-indelible type of a writing, and then write over it with Dio? Well, Tony Ruchia, we just learned the Braisa above. Kisavo Bavor Bishor Ubishikhar. If you use this lead, that is kosher. So how can you tell us right now that have them write it first with lead, which will not be permanent, and then write on top of the lead lettering with black ink, and that'll be acceptable? Rabbi Chia taught us that writing with lead is normally good, so how can here it not be good? As well as the Shikhar and the Shchor. That's kosher. So the Gemara says, Lo Kasha, there's not a steer between Shmuel suggesting that you write it with lead as a non-indelible mark, and then the witnesses will write over the lead writing with black ink, and that will be acceptable as writing for the first time, whereas Rav Chiya said that Avar is permanent good ink, and therefore would be not allowed based upon that for what Shmuel is suggesting. So Lo Kasha, there's no steer between Shmuel and the Braisa, because the Shmuel is telling us, he's taking the actual piece of lead and tracing out the letters. That's not going to be indelible. And therefore, when the witness now takes good indelible ink, black ink, and signs over that, so he's writing his name, and the previous avar is not considered significant. But when Reb Chiya said it's permanently going to be indelible, so then, ha b'maya d'avara, when you're using the lead that was steeped in water, and that makes an ink, that's going to be indelible ink. And therefore, we're talking about two different types of lead, basically. Just using plain lead, that's not going to be indelible. If it's lead that was soaked in water, that, Reb Chiya said, is going to be indelible and is going to be a good permanent marking. And therefore, if you were to use the lead water, that would not be good for Shmuel. It's only when you're doing with the avor itself, that's not indelible, and therefore Shmuel says that would be acceptable. Rabbi Yavo gives another suggestion. If the witnesses don't know how to sign the name, Rabbi Yavo, Omar b'mei milin. Go and take mei milin. What is mei milin? So Rashi tells us, mayim shishor behen afotzim shchukim. You take crushed gall nuts and you soak them in water, and that will make a type of an ink as well that will not be permanent, and then you'll be able to go and have the witnesses sign over that with a more permanent type of ink. Again, the Gemara says, well, Tani Rabbi Chanina, here we have Rabbi Chanina telling us the following brisa. It says, "Ksavo b'mei tarya va'afotza kosher." We had this again earlier in the shir. We said that if you write with mei tarya, which Rashi in one of his explanations was mei gishamim, the other one was shorim ba bipri ke'ein afotzim, and that is going to be indelible ink. So therefore, how can you tell me that this method of Rabbi Yavo is acceptable? That they'll write with this gallnut juice, and that will be non-permanent, and then the witnesses will sign over it with permanent ink, and that will be good. Rabbi Chanina taught us that the mei afotzim, this mei milin, is permanent ink. So, again, a stira, similar question that we had on Shmuel from the Brisa of Rabbi Chiya. We have the similar question on Rabbi Yavo from the Brisa of Rabbi Chanina. And again, the Gemara says it's not a stira between Rabbi Yavo and the Brisa, lo kasha, because Rabbi Yavo said you should use ha the offits that was the type of a parchment that already had gallnut stain on it. And when you have the gallnut stain on it, so then the gallnut juice that you're writing with will not be indelible. It's only indelible when you don't have a parchment that has been stained with gallnut juice. The gallnut juice staining it makes the gallnut juice that you're now using on top of it not considered indelible. But hard to low off, it's when the brisa Rabbi Chanina brought down that is considered an indelible type of marking when you're using mei tarya v'afotza. So that is dealing over here with you don't have the parchment that was already soaked or smeared with the gallnut juices, and therefore in that situation the gallnut juice will be indelible. So ein mei milin agabi milin, because his reasoning is that if you already have the juice there, so then if you already have the parchment soaked in it, so then the mei milin will not be able to go and be indelible when you write with the mei milin. But if it wasn't soaked, so then the mei milin will be a permanent type of a marker. So again, we explained the stira between Rabbi Yavo and the Reb Chanina as not being a problem. Morris suggests another way if the Edom don't know how to sign their own name. That's Rav Papa's suggestion. Again, I always tell you, when we have Amar Rav Papa or Amar Rav or Amar Rabba, so then they're coming to argue. When you list them as Rav Papa Amar, Rabbi Yavo Amar, they're not saying that the previous answer was wrong. They're giving an alternative answer. So here's another suggestion. All of these suggestions would be good. Rav Papa's giving us another suggestion. Rav Papa Amar Baruch. Go and use saliva and outline the name with the saliva. As Rashi says, Rosh bin Lohem Baruch, go and outline their name with saliva, and then go and they'll be able to take black ink and they'll write their name in on the saliva marking, and this way that will be a valid chasima. And in fact, this was also the suggestion that Rav Papa had given Lemaisa. V'chein ori le Rav Papa. Rav Papa had given this suggestion one time when such a get occurred, and one of the witnesses was an illiterate, a person who did not know how to sign his name. His name, this person who was illiterate, also had the name that Rav Papa had. This was Lepapa, who was Torah. Rashi explains, Torah is a person who is a sirsor, or a safsor. Safsor means sirsor. He's a middleman in regards to selling shvarim, but he was illiterate. So he told this Papa, Rav Papa, told this illiterate a papa who was the middleman in regards to selling shvarim, that go and use Baruch, go and outline his name in saliva, and then he'll fill in his name with black ink where the saliva was, and this would be a valid signature. Again, all of these are done specifically for Gittin, as the Gemara now tells us. V'hani mili begittin. The only reason these were allowed was for Gittin, to prevent the woman from becoming an aguna, or that she should become tizok like liyavam when her husband's going off on a business trip, for example, and we want to make sure that if he doesn't come back, the woman isn't going to be an aguna, and or that if they didn't have children, then she won't fall to Yibam. But this only works, therefore, all of these methodologies that we just suggested are only acceptable for witnesses that are illiterate to write their names on a get. Avol bishtaros, but for regular financial documents, so then don't rely upon such an illiterate witness. Bishtaros, lo. Because you could get a regular witness, it's not a rush. So you have only the illiterate witnesses, so the loan will take place tomorrow. The document that has to be signed will take place at another time when you can get appropriate witnesses. In regards to the get, if you don't do it right now, he's about to get on the boat. So if you don't do it right now, there is no tomorrow. So therefore, in regards to getting, we have to make sure that you even allow these illiterate witnesses, the witnesses don't even know how to sign their own name and how to read the document to go and sign. Avol bishtaros, financial documents, find it another time, get good witnesses. And therefore, you can't use these methodologies in regards to regular documents. And Maisa Shahaya, the how avat uvda, there once was a person who, for a financial document, went and used one of these methodologies for an illiterate witness. So the shtar sharos, the nagde, he used it for other shtaros, and the nagde Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana gave him malchus to Rabban for doing such a act. Okay, we turn to your testament base. And Tanya Kavasi the Rav, we have a brisa that is in accord with what Rav told us, that when you have an illiterate witness and he wants to sign on a get, so you basically etch into the parchment with like some sort of a non-ink type of etching, and then he'll fill in the area with ink. So, Tanya Kavasi the Rav, the Braisa says, just like Rav, Beferish, it says, Eidim Shein Yodim Lachtom, if witnesses don't know how to sign their name, what do you do? Mekarin Lohem Nir Cholok, you go and etch into this blank piece of paper, and then they'll fill in with ink. Or that's like Rashi understood this, or we said you make some sort of a stencil, like Tosis understood it, in the name of Rabbeinu Hanano. In any event, that's how you do it. Exactly, the Braisa says, like Rav said. Rav Shimon Gamaliel says, however, that's not always true. He says, only when are you allowed to do that? That's only in regards to Begite Noshim. That's only in regards to a get, because again, Mishum Iguna, or that she shouldn't become Tizokik Liyovim. Avo bishicharure avodim, but for other documents such as freeing of a slave, ushar kol shtaros, or any types of financial documents, where if you don't use this illiterate witness right now, nishkefelich, so you'll find somebody else to free the slave an hour later. You'll find somebody else to document the loan or the sale an hour later. So wait till you get a good person to sign. So Shimon Gamaliel tells us, if the witnesses know how to read the document and know how to sign their name, so then chosman, then you can be a witness. But if they don't know how to read and sign their name, ein chosman, they're not allowed to go. Ein chosman, they're not allowed to go and sign. Now the Gemara questions Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel's statement and says, who was talking about reading? We were just talking about chasima, kiriya man dikar shma. Who mentioned anything about reading that you suddenly come in by medvar mavurim? It's only if they know how to read and sign for other documents. We didn't say anything about reading it. So the Gemara says, you're right. Chisurim achsur v'achitani. We left out part of this brisa. Here is the full brisa. Eidim shein yodim likros. If you have witnesses that are illiterate, they don't know how to read. So what do you do for them? Korin lifneim v'chosman. So then you go and read it to them, and then they can sign. However, if they don't even know how to sign, v'shein yodim lachtov v'chule, so then you go and do what we said, mekarlem niyo cholok u'malim sakroim diyo, and that's acceptable. And on that, now we have the full brisa. If they don't know how to read, then read it to them. If they don't know how to sign, then do what we just suggested. And on that, Amar Shem Gamaliel, b'med v'ar mamurim b'giti nosh, we only allow this because of iguna, and not to be tizokik liyovam, so for Gitin Noshim, we'll allow these illiterate witnesses. We'll read it to them, and we'll, if they don't know how to sign the name, we'll allow this Makarin. However, avo shikuri avodim, but for documents that free a slave, or ushar kol ashtaros, or for any other financial documents, only im yodim likros v'lachtom chosman. They know how to read it, and they can sign the name, so then we allow them to be witnesses, chosman. But if not, v'im lav, ain't chosman. If they don't know how to read and sign the name, we don't allow them to go and be witnesses for these other documents. And Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar said, why? My time of the Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, what was his rationale? Again, for the reason, the gittin we allow, which lo yibinos Yisrael lagunos, we were concerned that Rachmana l'Islam, the husband's going off on a business trip, we don't know if we'll return. In those days, taking a boat on the water was a big risk. And he may not return, the boat may drown, the boat may sink, and he'll drown, and we won't know. What happened to him? There'll be no body. And this woman would never be allowed to marry the rest of her life. She's an 18-year-old girl. Her husband went off on a business trip. And she'll be an aguna the rest of her life. So therefore, they would write a get beforehand. And if this was the only opportunity to use such witnesses, the rabbis allowed it because the concern about women becoming agunos. The Shor Mitzion Balach here has a whole discussion how important it is to prevent a woman from becoming an aguna. And there are many, many stories after the Shoah, Rachmana Lislan, after the Holocaust, Germans, Yimach Shemam, killed so many people, but there was no evidence that these people died. So what should you do with that situation? So you have to find a halachic solution. And there were great, great rabbanim that would spend a tremendous amount of time and effort to try to find halachic evidence that would be acceptable to show that their husband had passed away in order to prevent these women from becoming an aguna. It is a great, great mitzvah. And there were great gedolim that were on their deathbed and did everything possible on their deathbed to still finish off matzuring a woman that she shouldn't be an aguna. Shouldn't be such situations that they occur, but again, the Chazal, they can't change around the dinim, but they can work very, very hard to try to find the evidence that would be acceptable to allow a woman not to be an aguna. That's what Rabbi Lodzer tells us was the rationale behind Rav Shimon Gamliel for allowing this for gittin for women, but not for other financial documents. Gemara continues and tells us, Amar Rava, Rava tells us that we paskin halacha ki Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that we only allow this for gittin noshim. However, Rav Gamda, Mishmei de Rava Amar, Rav Gamda said over the name of Rava differently, ain halacha. He said, we don't paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, what are we talking about? Ela Kaman, Kirabanan. So if we don't paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who do we paskin like? The Tanakama of Rav Shimon Gamliel? That you could use this for other documents? Rav Shimon Gamliel said, by man, to remember, it's only for gittin. That implies that the Tanakama would say this would even be good for other financial documents. So is that really true? We just brought down, however, there was a person that seemed to follow the Tanakama's view that you could use this not only for gittin but for other financial documents. And Rav Kahana was very upset with this, and he gave him Malkus the Rabbanan. So how can you tell me that Rav Ganda said in the name of Rava that this is acceptable even for non-gittin nashim documents? This is good for general financial documents. So the Gemara says, no, what Rav Gamda said in the name of Rava, the Ein Halacha, he was talking about Tirguma Akriya. He was saying that you don't have to be able to read, and that the Tanakhama would hold that even if they couldn't read it, as long as you read it to them, as long as they could sign their own name, this would be good even for other financial documents. Now, how important is it for the witnesses to actually be able to read it themselves? If you read it to them, is that acceptable? They not assign their name, but they don't know how to read. So, Rav Yehuda mitzta'er kare v'chosim. When Rav Yehuda got older and his eyesight dimmed, so he would struggle very hard, mitzta'er, he would cause himself like difficulty to be able to read a document and to sign on it. He wasn't happy with somebody else reading it to him. With small print, he couldn't read it so well, so he would take out his magnifying glass, he would go very, very hard to make sure that he was able to go and read the document himself. As Rashi tells us, Zokin Hoya, the Ein of Chaos. He was an older person and his eyes got weaker. When he was either a witness or a judge, mitstar, he would trouble himself, bekriya himself, to go and read it himself, the shtar, the korehu, the chosim. And only after he read it with great difficulty would he go and sign it. Amalei Ula tells Rav Yehuda, Rebbe, you don't have to do that. Lo tzriches, you don't have to trouble yourself so much because the whole Rebbe Lazar, the great Rebbe Lazar, who was a Mara de Eretz Yisrael. Why was he called Mara de Eretz Yisrael? So Rashi brings down, he was Baki Mikol Chaverim. He was greater than all of his other colleagues. And the Mara Nida tells us, Umsech Nida Mefarish, am I Karele Mara de Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara over there, Nida tells us that he was able to go and make decisions on various Nida Shilas that the other Chachamim weren't able to go and do. So even for him, they were Karu Kameh, when he had trouble, when he wasn't able to read something, so they would read it for him, and he would then sign it, V'chosim. So why are you worried about reading it yourself, and be mitzvah yourself? We see that it's allowed to have somebody read it to you. And likewise, V'Rav Nachman, Karu Kameh Safrei Dayane V'chosim. And likewise, when Rav Nachman had to sign something, he would have the scribes, the Sofrim there, go and read to him the document, and he would sign it. So why are you troubling yourself so much to go and read it yourself? It's perfectly acceptable. You see from these mices of Rav Elazar and Rav Nachman that other people read it to them, and they signed it. Now, the Gemara says that Rav Nachman was unique. The Dafka Rav Nachman V'Safrei Dayane. It was acceptable for Rav Nachman to go and have his Sofrim read it to him, and he would sign it. Because in this situation, they slew a masa, because they, those sofrim, had tremendous respect for Rav Nachman, and therefore they would never, chas v'shalom, say anything incorrectly, because they were in tremendous fear and awe of Rav Nachman. However, Avo Rav Nachman v'safri achrini, but if it was not his own sofrim, but it was other sofrim, then Rav Nachman didn't think that they would have necessarily the same awe for him that he knew his sofrim had, and therefore he would read it then. And likewise, safrei dayani, if it was the dayanim that Rav Nachman normally felt were very, very much in awe of him, but the inish achrina, but if they were reading it for another person that they were not in such awe of, so then he wouldn't allow it. He would say, you have to go and read it yourself in that situation, because you have to be concerned that maybe they're reading it incorrectly. And therefore, in that situation, he wouldn't allow one person to do it. He would require two people to read it. And as we'll see in the Gemara now, when you would have two people reading it, so they would read them in the following manner. Rav Papa would say, "Ki havi osel kamish or parso." If they brought to him a foreign language document, a Persian document that he didn't know how to read, the Ovid Biarko Shokusin that was authenticated in the Goyisha courts, and now they were being asked to carry it out. So, Makrilhu Lishne Kusim, he would have two people, Kusim, that knew this foreign language, this Persian document, and have them read it to him so he'd know what was in the document, but he wouldn't have them read it together, so they couldn't be in cahoots. So, Zeh Shalobet Zeh, he would ask one to read it, then he would send them out, he'd bring in another Kusi, and ask the other Kusi to read it. And he would do it in a way that they didn't think that they were actually reading the document. He would do it, B'meseach L'vnei Tumo, he would do it in a very, very simple fashion, in a as if they were just talking fashion. Mesiach l'flitumo means just stop talking. So we say, oh wow, this is such an interesting thing. You read this, look and see what this says. Tell me what it says. And not have them think that they're authenticating a shtar. And then, if the two Kusian, when they were saying this, Mesiach l'flitumo, they agreed with each other, then he would go, he would go and use such a document which has been authenticated in the Goyish courts, which we said previously in the Masechta would be acceptable under certain situations. So then he would go and collect with that document, even from Nechosim that were Mishubadim. And the Gemara continues with another Maisa Shahi that did the same thing. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi said, Amali Rav Huna Bar Nosson, Rav Huna Bar Nosson told me that Halchi Amar Meimer, that Meimer carried this out in practice, and he said, I star parsa, this document that was written in Persian, the Chasim Elei Sad Yisrael, that had, in fact, Jewish people signing on it, so he would use that Magbinan Bey Mimishubad. He would go and collect from it, once he clarified what the document said, if he didn't know what it said, so he would then go and collect even from leaned properties. So, in this situation, it was a valid document. More questions, it says, wait a second, but they didn't know how to read it. How can you go collect from it? Shmuel says, don't be yodi. You're talking about here with the witnesses who signed on it, knew Persian. So they were valid witnesses. Shmuel says, I b'ha bo'inun k'sav she'en yochel is dayev v'leka. We had said, our documents were very careful about the ink that's being used and the paper that's being used, that it can't be something that could be erased, and therefore we don't have to be concerned about ziyuf, about forgery, about somebody making changes in this document illegitimately, inappropriately. So they don't do this gallnut juice to make sure that it's indelible ink. So the Gemara says, no, bidafitza, no, they did use the gallnut juice over here, so that if you have this document that's treated with the gallnut juice and you then make any erasures on it, it's going to be recognizable, and therefore you can't have forgeries on it. So therefore they did it correctly. Gemara says, wait a second, we have a rule to make sure that nobody writes in stuff extra afterwards, so we repeat what the early part of the shtar says at the end of the shtar. This way there's a corroboration between the beginning and the end of the shtar. You know that nothing was added in between, nothing else was put in afterwards that was able to be squeezed in ahead of the signatures of the witnesses. So we do that, but they don't do that. So therefore, how can he accept this? Shmuel says, no, be the mahadir. This document did exactly that. It reiterated the essentials of the document on the last line. So therefore, you can make sure that there was corroboration between the beginning and end of the shtar. So Shmuel says, if they did everything right, so then what's the chiddush? So what are you telling us, that this was an acceptable document? It was an acceptable document, and you don't need to tell us that. That it was in Persian. The chol lashon kosher, your chiddush is that you're allowed to write a document in Persian, but that we already know as well. Tanina, because we learned in the Mishnah later in the Masechta, it tells us, get shekasavu ivris, the aid of Yevanis, or Yevanis, the aid of ivris, is kosher. It tells us that even though the documents and the witnesses are not signing in the same language, that's acceptable. And the document could be written in Hebrew and the Edom sign in Greek, or the document could be written in Greek and the Edom sign in Hebrew, it's kosher. So what in the world is the chiddush over here that Amemar said that this star was a valid star? So Gemara says, no, it's a big chiddush over here from a Meimar. If we only had the Mishnah later in the Masechta, you know what I would have said? Hava mina hani milin begitin. I would have said that that is only applicable in gitin because of, again, because shemiguna mishum shalot tizachik liyavim. I would have said maybe there's special rules that we allow by gitin that we don't allow by other shtaros. Avol b'shtar shtaros, I would say no, lo. Kamash malon. So the chiddush on there is that here, even though it's written in a different language, so the documents for financial documents or shichur avadim would still be acceptable. It's not only by gittin. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel tells us, nasan lo nir cholok, if a man were to give his wife a blank piece of paper, nir cholok, and he says, v'amar lo harei zagitach, and he says, this is your divorce document, so she is migoreshes. She is, in fact, divorced. Now, he didn't really give her a blank piece of paper. There was something on it, but now when we look at it subsequently, we see that there's no writing on it. So we are concerned over here, chayshinan. Now, the Lashon, it says on the side, you look in Tosus elsewhere, those in the Gilyan Shas and the Masoras Shas, they tell us that the word chayshinan over here doesn't mean maybe, it means vadai. We can say for certainty, chayshinan vadai shema b'mei milin ksavo, that it really was a get written there originally. At least we have to be choshesh for that, and therefore this is a get, and even though she may not be able to get remarried based upon this get, but there's a chashash of a get over here, and if her husband now were to die, she would be also to go and marry a kohen. She's considered a divorcee, at least al sotek. So, this is what Shmuel is telling us. In this situation, where she got this niyor chaluk, we have to be vaday concerned that there really was a get there, even though right now it seems to be a blank piece of paper, and this woman is megureshes misafik, she'll require a real get, or if the husband dies, she's considered grusha. Now, Meisve, we question Shmuel. Harei Zagitech, the Gemara says, in the following Braisa, the man says to his wife, this is your get. Unthaloso uzurakoto liyam. And then he gives it to her, and she goes and throws it into the yam. And it's destroyed. It's gone. So, oh, la'or, or she throws it into a fire, and it's gone. Oh, l'chol davar of it, or she destroys it. She gives it to a dog, and the dog eats it. It's destroyed. The get isn't there. We have no proof that this was actually a get. Now, if the husband agrees it was a get, she agrees it was a get, so then she's considered a grusha. But the husband now goes and says, listen, the husband changes his mind and said, shtar pasim hu. This was a shtar pasim. A shtar pasim comes from the word to be mefais. A person wrote a shtar to be mefais his friend. The friend needs a line of credit. So he says, okay, I owe you $100,000. He knows the friend won't collect on it, but the friend can go and show this to other people and say, listen, I got money in the bank, so to say, and therefore he'll be able to do business. So that's called a shtar pasim. So the husband now says, that wasn't a get, that was a shtar pasim. Or he says, it was shtar amona. A shtar amona is basically a document that is based upon emuna, that a person goes and writes a loan, but he doesn't yet take the loan. But he writes the document to the friend that you gave me $100,000. So the friend is trustworthy that he's not going to go collect that until he actually gives him the money. Again, whether you should do these things or not, a pasim or a muna document aren't the best things in the world. But in any event, they were done. And that's what the guy says. Nevertheless, even though he now changes his mind, said it wasn't a get, it was a shtar pasim or a shtar amana. Nevertheless, migoreshes, the woman is considered divorced. Because he originally said it was a get. Now, the get is no longer around. We can't verify it. So he can't change his mind subsequently and say that it's not a get. Now, here's the question. Taimor, the ikok sab. In that situation, there was definitely writing on it. So we know that there was something there. So when he said it's a get, we have no reason to assume it's not a get. But here, in this piece of paper, ha lekok sab, there is no writing on it. So how can you tell me that it was a get? Lo, why do we believe him in this situation that it was a get? There's nothing on it right now. Nevertheless, we said chashinu shema b'mei milin kisavo. Gemara says because Shmuel holds kikamer Shmuel the badkinon le b'maya denora. We did a test on it over here. We did a bedika on it with mayim denora. What is mayim denora? Rashi tells us this is a certain type of a dye tseva, a foreign language word he gives us. Umavirin mei hatseva alav, and you put this type of a dye on top of the parchment, upolate osios shabala veniros, and it somehow brings out the letters that have been swallowed up inside this document, and they'll be brought forward. So therefore, when you go and check it out with the Mayim Denara, you can see, e polit, polit, vilo polit, lav klumu. If you see that there were letters over there, you can see that something is coming out. So then, we have to be believing him when he says that he gave her a get. because we see that there was something there, even though it's not able to be legible right now, but we see that something was there. But if nothing comes out with this test, then it gave her a blank piece of paper, and therefore, lav klum hu. In that situation, it would be worthless. The get is not a good get. Mora says, wait a second. So let's say you did this test, and you see that there was something hidden over there. Hashto de polit. Right now, it is coming out. But who says it was there at that time? And therefore, how do we know that this was a consideration for a valid get? So the Gemara says, yeah, taka, Shmuel nami chayshinan kamar. Shmuel said that we have to be concerned about this. Chayshinan shema b'mei milin kisavo. We're concerned about this, so we view this as a safek get. It's definitely something that we have to be concerned about. And therefore, she is considered a woman who cannot get married yet at this point in time, but if her husband were to die, she is considered a grusha, so much so that she wouldn't be allowed to marry a kohen. Mark continues and says, Amar Ravina. Ravina says, Amar li Ameimar. Ameimar taught me that Hochi Amar Mereimar, that this is what Mereimar said, Mishmei de Rav Dimi, the name of Rav Dimi. He said, Hani Beitre. There are these two people, these two witnesses, the Yoav Gita Kamayu, that are going to give a get in front of a woman, so Tzrichil Mikraye. They should go and read the get before they give it to the woman to make sure that they know that this is indeed a get for the woman and not some other type of a document. That's the Eitzah that they should do. Otherwise, you're going to run into trouble over here. So Gemara says, really? Meisve, but we learned, Harei Zegitech. He said that if a man gave a get to his wife and he says, this is your get, and then she takes it, Untalusu, and Uzurakto Layam, and she threw it right away into the Yam, or Olaor, into a fire, or the Choldover of it, or into anything that will destroy it. She gave it to the dog, and the dog ate it. The Chazar V'Yomer, and then the husband subsequently says, no, it wasn't a real get, it was Shtar Pasimhu, or Shtar Amanu, it was these various types of other documents that were not real documents of getting for the woman to be divorced, but they were other documents. So we said, Daloch Lamaisa is Migoreshes, below Kol Hemen Uliosra, that he doesn't have the right to go and retract what he had originally said. He said it was a get, she accepted it as a get, and then it's destroyed, so it is in fact a get. Now, why is this a question? The Amris Tzricha Lemikraya, if you're telling me that the witness has to have read the get, so then, Boser Dekaryu, Mi Motzi Amr Lehachi, if the witness has read the get, like you're saying that Meremar said you're supposed to do, so then how could it possibly be that he's saying after they read the get and they saw that it was a get isha, that it was a divorce document, how could the Baal subsequently say, oh no, it wasn't a divorce document, it was a pasim document or a mona document? He would be obviously lying. The witnesses know that it was a divorce document. He says, you're right, lo tzricha, you need the chiddush over here to teach us the basar de karyu. The witnesses did read it, but then the husband took it back, Ayla lebe yodei, he put it in his hand, in other words, he put it up his sleeve, and then va'avke, and then he took it out. And now we have to be concerned, did he make a switcheroo? Did he switch around the document that he showed them, which was a divorce document, and now later on he's going to claim, that wasn't the divorce document that I returned to you, that was in fact the shtar pasim, or the shtar amana, and therefore she's not really divorced. So Ayla lebe yodei, he put it up his sleeve, so to say, the avke, and then he took out possibly a different document. So I might have thought, ma'u detemo chilufe chalfe, that we have to be concerned that he switched it. So kamash v'lon, in this situation, since he said this was the divorce document, and now it's gone, he can't change his mind afterwards. Lo kol heimenu liostro, he doesn't have the ability to go and now ask her to say that she's not a divorced woman, and that he still is married to her. Mara says, "Amaisa shaya, how gavra the once is a man, the zorak lo gito lidvisu. He threw a get nebuch to his wife, and it landed lebeine dani, in between some jugs, some barrels. Okay, they go to look to see, v'ishtakach, and they go and find a mezuzah over there, ishtakach mezuzta, and not the get. So, Amar Nachum Rachin Paskin, he says, mezuzta beine dani lo shlicha. It is very, very likely that there would be normally a mezuzah in between the barrels. And therefore, we have to suspect that when he, quote, threw her the get, zorak lo gito lidvisu, he actually did not throw her a get, but it was a mezuzah. As Rashi points out, it's not shchiach that there should be a mezuzah over there. Vizuhi shazorak zeh. And that which he claimed he was throwing her get was actually this mezuzah. And we don't have to be concerned. No, he really threw a get there. Some animal came along and took it, and there happened to be a mezuzah over there that we found now. That's very unlikely. And therefore, we have to presume that he really didn't throw her get. He threw the mezuzah. However, Bahani Mili, this is only so if they only found one mezuzah over there, the ishtaka chod, because we certainly saw him only throw one document. Aval, Bez Gimel. But if you were to see over there, either two or three mezuzos. So now, he obviously didn't throw two or three things. So just like Midoho, Havoy, just like there was one mezuzah over there that we found, Ha-Nami, Havoy. There are other mezuzahs over there. So there was, for some reason, mezuzahs in this area. And therefore, in this situation, when he claims he threw a get there, and all we find are mezuzahs, so V'gita, Emor, Achbarim, Shoklu. Here we now can say that since there's no reason to suspect that there should be a mezuzah over there, and now we find several mezuzahs over there. However, one got there, several got there. In other words, somebody stored some mezuzahs over there. And in fact, now we have to be concerned that the husband said, I threw her a get. And even though we only see mezuzahs, we have to be concerned that an achbar, a mouse, came along and took the get that he threw. And therefore, this woman is sofek migureshes. Again, she can't get married based upon this. She would require a new get. But if her husband were to die, she wouldn't be allowed to marry a kohen. We have to say that there's a sofek that she's a gerusha. Another ma'isa show you how gavra the olabei knishta. There once was a man who went inside a beis haknesses, shakal sefer Torah, took out one of the sefer Torah, gave it to his wife. Yo, I have law le divisu, and he said, "Yo, my law ha gitech. This is your get." Now, what are we concerned about over here? Amar Yosef lemai lechushla. What exactly is our concern over here that this woman might or might not be a divorcee? And if we're concerned that maybe he wrote it over here, as Rashi says, Shema Kosav Lo Get Mi Bechutz, on the other side of the Sefer Torah, he actually wrote down the document, Veinoniko, and it's not recognizable because the Sefer Torah is written. Normally, the parchment has in it the Me'afotzim, the Me'milin, and therefore, now when you're writing on it with Me'afotzim, it's going to actually fade away, so you won't be able to recognize it. Maybe we should be concerned about that. No. Ain may milin, agabi may milin. No, halachically, we would not consider that a valid get. So if that's what you're concerned about, that's not a valid get. So when he gives it a Sefer Torah, even if he had written something over there, it wouldn't be a valid get. And the woman is not even a suffik migureshes. And we turn to Chof Amud Aleph. So then what are we concerned about? Imishum krisus di ispa. If you're telling me, because the Torah has the parashios of Gittin written in the Torah, so maybe he's saying, I'm divorcing you with the parashios that are written in the Torah. That is your get. Imishum krisus the ispa, as Rashi says, shiksuva ba parashas, the kosav law, sefer krisus, that's what it says in the Torah. So maybe that he's divorcing with that. That can't be, because the Gemara says, ha ba'inam, the kosav law, which means lishma. You have to write the get from that husband to that wife. And obviously, when the Sefer Torah was written, it didn't have him and his wife in mind. Veleka. Ah, you're going to tell me, v'chitem o'leichosh, maybe. When this Sefer Torah is being written, the guy told the sofer, listen, when you're writing these parashios over here, have me in mind and have my wife in mind. So therefore, this Sefer Torah was written, the parashios of Gittin was written lishma. V'chitem o'leichosh dumo akdim, before the Torah was written, he came, v'yohav lei zuza, he gave the sofer money, l'safra, me'ikara, at the very beginning, and told him that, write this on behalf of me, for my wife. So that still wouldn't be good. You have to go and write Shmo Ushma. You have to write that, and that's not written in the Torah. You have to write Shemiro, the city that he's from, Shemiro, and the city that she is from, Veleka. So that can't be what we're concerned about. So what's the Havli mean to think that when he gave her the Sefer Torah, that she would be in any way divorced? So Rabbi Yosef, Michael Mashmalon. So what's the Chiddush then, Rabbi Yosef, telling us? He's asking all these questions. Maybe she's concerned about this. Maybe she's concerned about that. What's he worried about? This is obviously not a valid kosher get. So Gemara says, he's teaching us this din. She'ein mei milin, agabi mei milin. No, the first question that he had, you might have thought that maybe if the person wrote with mei milin on the back, and that's why we can't see it, it wasn't absorbed well. It's not indelible. And you might have thought that's a good get. So come Ashvalon, Rav Yosef is coming to tell us, you might have thought that. That's not even a valid hadamina. That's not even a valid chashash that we should in any way say that this woman is divorced by the fact that her husband gave a sefer Torah to her and said, this is your get. With this, we conclude today's share.